様、本日はジルヘンドリーエアをご利用いただき誠にありがとうございます。この飛行機は地上3万フィートを飛行してまいります。また通信。
Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. We're going to be signing our CD, The Best of the Phil Henry Show, 1999 CD, entitled Communism is Neat, at Rock Honda in Fontana, 9612 Sierra Avenue in Fontana, California. And we'll be doing that this coming Saturday at 12 noon. And we will be there roughly from 12 noon until 2, 2:30, something like that. And if you'd like the CD and you'd like to have it signed, and right now, that is, I guess, the only way you can buy it. Actually, you can get it online, too. But if you'd like to have the CD signed and you want to take some pictures and you want to talk to me and we'll meet and talk and do whatever it is that we do, then come on out to Rock Honda in Fontana this coming Saturday at 12 noon. Live entertainment will be provided. Frank from Arizona Iced Tea is going to be there with some Arizona Iced Tea refreshments, and all of the money from the sale of that will as well go to our favorite charity, the great guys at My Friend's Place. The money from our CD sales and the Arizona Iced Tea sales go to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And last year we made about 170 grand for them, the year before about 70, 80 grand. So maybe we can bust a record. I don't know. I'm not going to sit there and look at the tote board or anything, you know, and dance around, man, like at the Chabad thing, which, by the way, I missed it again this year. You know that Chabad telethon on Channel 11? It's fantastic. And I actually tried to donate some money in the name of Harvey Weierman, just so I could see Harvey's name scrolling at the bottom of the screen. And I never did quite see it, but I did give him a couple of hundred bucks. So, we will not be dancing around the tote board. We will, however, be very, very thankful and very appreciative of whatever it is you can do for the guys at My Friend's Place. And again, a resource center for homeless runaway kids in Hollywood. That's coming up on this coming Saturday, 12 noon at Rock Honda. And that is out Interstate 10. You get off at Sierra and you go north about a mile, maybe a mile and a half, and they're right on the left-hand side of the street. See you there Saturday, I hope. And then there's the other thing here about the guy who won the lottery in Streamwood, Illinois, that I wanted to point out to you before we get too further into the show this hour. Anyway, there's a guy who won a lottery. I think he won a Powerball lottery in Streamwood, Illinois. And it was like $195 million this guy won. So they partied and they had a great time. And now people are suing him, apparently because he promised them $1 million each had he won the lottery. It's a lawsuit. The bartenders who bought the guy named Frank Capacci his winning ticket, they won $1 million each that they claim the retired electrician promised to give them if he won the prize. One of the bartenders, Patty Rooney, was succinct with her irritation as she hustled to make a pizza last week at Bill's on Bartlett Pizza Pub, the tavern that has been the stage for much of the unfolding drama. She says, "I've known Frank since I was a young girl, and I'm very disappointed in him." Along with Capacci's ticket, Rooney and John Marnell, another bartender there, he bought tickets for more than a dozen other bar patrons, including themselves. They drove 60 miles to the Wisconsin border to buy the tickets because Powerball isn't played in Illinois. Each player's ticket was sealed in an envelope in the order in which the bartenders collected the cash. The morning after the drawing, Rooney and Marnell heard on the news that the winning ticket had been sold at the Wisconsin convenience store that they had gone to, and it had been sold at the same time they were there. Still, they handed Capacci and others the unopened envelopes later that afternoon. These people had so many opportunities to take the $195 million, and Frank Capacci would never have known the difference, said Bob Winter, a lawyer for Rooney and Marnell. They were completely honest. They put it in his lap, and then he turns around and he stiffs them. Now, this guy Capacci, he opted for a lump sum payment rather than a 20-year annuity. After taxes and other deductions, his payoff was $68 million. Wow, did they take a chunk. $195 million down to $68 million? Dude, that is more than 50%. That's taxes, state tax.
It's not just taxes.
And other deductions. Like what?
One.
Oh, I understand that.
Well, half of it's gone right there because of that.
Well, I know the taxes are significant, but what is it, like penalties? They assess a penalty if you take it in one lump sum?
Yeah.
Whoa, man, they're taking a big chunk. Rooney and Marnell say that he gave them $10,000 apiece, or one penny for every dollar of his promise. The lawyer says Capacci's alleged pledge to the couple amounts to a verbal contract. There is legal precedent for them to receive the money, he says. You know how these stories keep popping up? Every so often there's a guy who wins $185 million, or somebody wins $90 million or something, and these stories pop up where the wife is suing him for the money. I think there was someone, some guy who'd won some money. Oh, no, I know what it is. The guy's wife won some money, and she kept it from him. And he turned around and he sued. He had to get the money. And it's and a lot of times these stories have to do with these so-called verbal contracts or a promise or a commitment that was made. Now, this is a retired electrician hanging out in a pizza pub somewhere in Illinois. And you know, like on a Friday night or on a Saturday night, well, they all get together, and everybody knows everybody else. And why else would you say, hey, you go buy me a lottery ticket, too, and I swear to God, I'll cut you in. You swear to God? Hey, do I look like a liar? You know me. Okay, Frank. And they run off, they get the other ticket. Why it is that a judge would hear this, I'm not saying the people are wrong. I'm just saying, why would a judge even bother himself with garbage like this? Some drunk in a pizza parlor says, I swear to God, I'm going to get... It's like trying to settle a bar fight. It's like trying to step in the middle of a bunch of drunks and settle an argument. You can't do it. It's an impossibility. And it is born of illogic and lack of preparation and lack of commitment. It's just a guy who was drunk one night and said, I swear to God, I'll give you the money if you go out and you buy me that lottery ticket. How many of these promises are made on bar stools across America each and every night? I don't know. I mean, let's be honest, folks. We've all had a taste now and again. I'm sure you've made a promise or two over a beer that you couldn't possibly keep. I'm looking at Schaefer right now. He knows. That's been the story of his life. You have yourself a taste, and you know what I'm going to do? When I go down to the VA tomorrow and I get my check, I'm going to give you the money for your college education. All right, sure. Whatever you say there, Ace. I'll call you tomorrow. I swear to God. You sure you won't lose my number? I swear to God. How about that? You want to hear some promises made in a bar room? How about I'll call you tomorrow? Or how about this one? Hey, Bobby, yo, if you can catch this round, man, I swear to God the next round's on me, man. Just, you know, my old lady's going to be here in about 20 minutes. She's got my money. If you just, okay, all right. Okay, great. So the guy has his drink, and he's gone. Goodbye. What happened about, oh, he had to go home and go to bed. So what's happening here is the judge is trying to get in the middle of something like that. A bunch of juice hounds. Every time I read about a lottery being paid off, somebody's suing the guy. Somebody is, you know what, I mean, you can try to be a guy's friend, you can nose around his front door, you can be like members of the family and call up and say, hey, yo, babe, you know, remember me, you know, I got 100,000. I'd hate to be one of these guys. Last thing I want to do is win a lottery, because the last thing I want is have to put up with every so-called friend wanting a piece of that change. God, how do you keep them from your door? The first thing I'd do if I won the lottery is I'd keep it so secret it wouldn't even be funny. Is there a law that says that you have to allow them to publicize your name? Is there a law that says you have to... Some of them may have some clause to help them promote the lottery or the Powerball that you have to tell them your name and you have to allow some modicum of publicity. But if that were not the case, I would keep it so quiet you would never know. I'd keep coming into work for about the next 3 weeks, and then I'd slowly just start missing work. I'd start missing work to the point where they'd fire me, and then, you know, whatever happened to Phil? I don't know, man. He's like on welfare, living on the Bowery, or I think he just bought that condo in Kauai. Either one of the three. Okay, the Phil Henry Show here at 1-800-449-8686. Here, 1-800-449-8686. Here is New Brownville on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi. I was wondering if y'all had found out anything about that nursing home last week.
What was that, sir?
About the nurse that was in the nursing home that was abusing the senior citizen.
The lady who was, she had senior citizens, she wouldn't let them watch cartoons?
Right.
I don't know. What happened to that, Mike? I think we had sent somebody down there. It was a place called Joyful Union Senior Center. And if memory serves, the woman was not allowing the older people to watch Was it? I forget what it was. Cartoons?
Yeah, it was the cartoons that the gentleman wanted to watch, and she was very abusive toward him, and it sounded like she'd even struck him at one point.
Why did she not want them to watch the cartoons? I can't remember.
I think she was just disgruntled with her job. And
I can't hear you. What?
I think she was just disgruntled with her job.
She didn't want them watching cartoons because she didn't like her job?
That's what it sounded like to me.
Well, she did say at one point she didn't want the old people watching cartoons because it took them too far out.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were suffering from Alzheimer's. Some of them might have been in the beginning stages of dementia.
Right.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Well, as far as I know, we did place a call to the proper authority overseeing that. And that the woman may be on suspension, but I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, and she was a nursing supervisor down there.
Right.
Okay, pal?
All righty.
Where do you live?
I live in New Braunfels, Texas.
Where's that? Is that near San Antonio?
Yeah, it's just a little bit north of San Antonio.
Oh, okay. Well, as far as I know, that's what came of that.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that old lady, that lady who lived at that Joyful Union lived there. I don't know. She ran at Joyful Union, whatever it was, Senior Center, I think. And apparently she had some, you know, some old folks that she would not allow to watch cartoons. Now, I think she made the comment, I don't want them watching cartoons because it takes their brains too far out on a ledge, way out there. And but the only person who seemed messed up to me was her, because she kept saying she doesn't want them watching Frosty the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And she don't want them watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Snowman and stuff like that. So she was the one, obviously very unfamiliar with cartoons herself, who sounded like she needed some help. But if you're on your money as my producer, you might have made the right caller, Mike, and gotten a woman thrown in jail. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. So anyway, these juice hounds there in any, wherever it is, Illinois, Indianapolis, something like that, one of those states, Illinois or Indianapolis, these guys are having themselves a couple of beers, a couple of extra cheese pizzas, something with a little extra sausage, and oh yeah, go buy me a lottery ticket. And I swear to God, I promise I'm going to split my winnings with you. How many times have you said that, and how many times have you heard somebody say that? I believe that the judicial system of America is a tremendous one and can be used in a variety of ways, but one of them ain't settling bar fights. Some juice dispute between a guy and his chums at one of those, well, what do you call it? You know, those kind of gay 90s style pizza parlors? You know, where there's sort of that stained glass and that cheesy-looking lamp fixtures. And there's just a hint of a straw hat here or there. Kind of a pizza pub kind of a place, yeah. How did we ever get into that in this country? But how is it that pizza parlors in America look like something out of the Northwest? You know, like Sergeant Preston of the Yukon just pulled in from the Iditarod. Everything with the garter on the arm and the straw hat and the handlebar mustache. Last time I checked, man, a pizza's from freaking Italy. We ought to have guys walking around, you know, looking like Italians. Not looking like they just got off of a cable car, Main Street USA. Let's pop into the Penny Arcade. And, you know, the other thing is, drinking in a restaurant as opposed to drinking in a bar. A bar meant for going in and having a drink, maybe shooting some pool, maybe playing some darts, maybe watching a ball game. Drinking there is a distinctly different experience from going into, like, Denny's and throwing a few back. You know, you go into Denny's and have yourself a couple of pops. Hey, it looks like a pretty good place. Hey, you want to go into Denny's and have a couple of beers or something? No, I don't think so, man. Hey, you could sit at the bar, get a Jack and Coke at Denny's. Have a Jack and Coke with your burger. By the way, I went into Bob's Big Boy over there on Riverside. I hadn't been into Bob's in years. Bob's is a very, very famous chain restaurant here in California. When I was a kid, man, we had like three or four of them on Colorado Boulevard, just a few blocks from where I grew up. We had Bob's everywhere. I went into Bob's in Toluca Lake, the only one that's left. And I said to myself, I wonder if the burger's going to taste the same. I can remember this distinctive taste of the Bob's combo burger with all those fries and stuff. And I bit into that thing, and it wasn't anything like I remembered it. But then I might have forgotten. It was very good, though. I'm just kidding. I mean, lest you think I didn't like it. I went into Bob's on Riverside in Toluca Lake. I had myself the Bob's combo, baby. And I got some of those French fries, and I got some onion rings. I had a big-ass Coke, excuse my language, and
Would you like a big-ass Coke, dear? Excuse my French. Steady as a freaking rock. Excuse my French.
There was one in Monrovia. And the one in Monrovia is still around, yeah. The one on Foothill. Oh, my God, is that still around? Sure. But the one up on Riverside, they still got the classic car night. Everybody pulls in, you know, with really hot-looking muscle cars and stuff. And this is an old one, man, because they've got the drive-through, not the drive-through, excuse me, they got the car hop set up where you're parking underneath the overhang there, the awning, and the people, I guess, either roller skate out or run out or roll out on pallet boards. I don't know who the hell they're hiring there lately. Well, they're very nice people. I'm just kidding. And they have the Bob's Diner in some mall still. It's like a mini Bob's. Nah, but yeah, I don't know. Is it any good? Any too good? But this one I went to with Maria because we were driving back from, where is it? Oh, yeah, we were driving back from the hotel after this weekend of debauchery going to all those Christmas parties. And she said, well, let's get something to eat. And I said, oh, this looks like the place to me. Stopped in, had a very nice time. But as I was sitting there, I was imagining myself, because I saw a couple of old-timers sitting at the diner, I was thinking, boy, how about just popping in here, man, and having yourself a gin and tonic at a Bob's Big Boy? But there are some people, myself included, in my life, I have been known to go into a pizza parlor and get a buzz on. I used to go, I swear, to Red Lobster to get a buzz on with my buddies. Hey, let's go over to Red Lobster and throw a few back. We get pitchers of beer at Red Lobster and sit in the bar area there at Red Lobster and get cop a buzz. Now, this is something I would never do in my wildest dreams now, but I used to go to Red Lobster to get, like, loaded and talk to the chicks that are working the bar there. Yeah, Olive Garden, that's another one. Go to Chili's and get wasted. Oh, please. Monterey Park on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Yeah, Phil. You know, there's one downtown.
Are you all right, man? You started off like you just stepped in a mousetrap. Yeah,
well,
Phil.
I'm working with cheese. I'm making my husband's potluck stuff here.
What's up?
There's a Bob's Big Boy downtown.
Oh, awesome. Where? Downtown L.A.?
Yeah, in the criminal courts building.
Right in the criminal. That's where it belongs. Oh, I got to go to that one. The Bob's Big Boy, right where they tried O.J.? Right downtown. Right in the criminal court building.
Buonasera. Vi ringraziamo per aver scelto di volare con Phil Henry Air. Voleremo ad un'altitudine di 30.000 piedi e cappuccino. Il volo di stasera offrirà Al Pacino.
Phil Henry here. Terry Ray hates me so much, but I'm glad that Carell and Andrew have taken you under their wing. You do. You hate me. Because I don't do any happy talk with the news people. You hate me for that.
That's not true.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. But Carell and Andrew have involved you in their show, and I'm jealous. But I'm happy for you.
You're jealous of me or them?
I'm jealous of you. I'd love to be involved in their show instead of this one. Oh. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. She's about, I don't know, 99% of my audience has no idea what the hell it is I'm talking about. I'm talking with our news person here in Los Angeles, Terry Ray Elmer, and Carell and Andrew do the afternoon show here at KFI. And they're two guys, by the way, who've been married for 10 years, and they're nice guys. All right, here's Venice on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hello, Phil.
How are you?
Fine. Enjoy the show.
Thanks.
Yeah, a couple times a year I go to the Midwest, and in Indiana they have what's called Frisch's Big Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Not called Bob's. It's the same boy, you know, standing there with the burger.
Right.
Same menu, same everything.
That's right.
Except it doesn't say Bob.
It's called Frisch, and I think Frisch was Bob's last name. Seriously,
well,
I think Bob Frisch. And out on the West Coast, they did it one way. And I've never really been able to understand the phenomenon in America where the exact same restaurant will have different names, you know,
right,
in different parts of the country. But Frisch's is definitely something that's ringing a bell, and I think it was his last name. And if you go to the South, I think it's something else down there. But
yeah,
that
well,
kid,
maybe it's like different fractions of the same family.
Maybe
something.
It's like an offshoot of a religion, you know?
It's a cult. It's a Bob cult.
For instance, let me ask you a question. Why is it Hellman's Mayonnaise back east, and out here it's Best Foods?
You know,
what's that all about?
I couldn't even begin to tell you about.
Yeah. In other words, it's like the Protestant religion leaving the Catholic faith, you know, and it's offshoots.
So, yeah, it's like Jews, you know, it's like different kinds.
Different kinds of Jews?
Yeah, you know, there's more religious ones and less religious ones.
Yeah, and mayonnaise. So Jews and mayonnaise are similar.
Yeah, you know.
I got you.
Some is kosher, some is not.
Some mayo's kosher?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, my friend. I'm praying you're Jewish.
Yes, I am Jewish.
There. Thank God.
Does that allow me?
Well, it helps. Yeah, well, it does. Yeah, believe it or not, I don't know why, but it helps. When the B'nai B'rith calls and says, "So you're anti-Semitic again tonight, Phil," I said, "But that was a Jewish listener of mine who brought that up. Please understand."
Yes.
I had a rabbi in Miami writing letters for me to the ADL.
For you or to you?
No, for me.
Oh.
I mean, we'd do a bit on the air. The ADL would call, and then I'd call the rabbi and say, "Rabbi, you got to help me." He said, "I'll write a letter. Don't worry, Phil." And he was Irish, too. "I'll write you a letter, Phil. Don't worry."
And one more thing, in L.A., I mentioned it. There's one on Wilshire and Highland. There's a Bob's, too.
Well, you know what? We're going to have to do a tour.
A Bob tour.
Yeah, we'll do a Bob tour before they all shut down, my man.
Right, the Y2K Bob tour. It'll be a big thing.
Yeah, before the guy with the processed pompadour shuts down. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye. What? You know, the guy's full of crap? Wilshire and what? Highland? I don't know. By the way, what kid, and I don't care what era we're speaking of, really, what kid dressed like that? What era are we talking about exactly? Checkered overalls with the little sort of waterfall effect curl. What, was that the 40s that kids were running around looking like that? Montrose on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Yeah, Phil, French was not Bob's last name.
Okay.
Wyan was Bob's last name.
Bob Wyan?
Bob Wyan. And what he did, instead of just franchising each restaurant, he would franchise a territory. So it was the Elias Brothers Big Boy down in, like, Texas, up in Northern California, and it was JB's Big Boy, and then there was Vip's Big Boy, and Kip's Big Boy.
Zip's Big Boy. Where are we talking now? Are we talking just in California, or?
Well, I was at a JB's in South Dakota once. I was at a Vip's Big Boy in Sacramento once. I was at the French's in Richmond, Indiana. So it's
right. Yeah.
Spots the franchise of the territory has their name on it.
I saw that.
Yeah,
I saw
how
that.
It goes.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Bye, man.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, Hellman's Mayonnaise, Best Foods Mayonnaise. Why? Why is this?
It even says on the jar,
west of the Mississippi, it's Best Foods. East of the Mississippi, it's Hellman's. When I was back living in Florida, people would say, "And get Hellman's, Phil. Only get Hellman's." I said, "What if I find Best Foods?" Nah, you don't want that crap. You want the Hellman's. Orlando on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
How are you?
I'm an old listener from Miami. I'm listening on the net.
Oh, great. I thought maybe we were on in Orlando, but I guess not.
No, not yet.
Okay.
Anyway, you remember the restaurant in Miami called Pollo Tropical?
Sure.
Here in Orlando, I guess they don't have as many Spanish people. They call it Tropigrill.
Tropigrill. Sounds more southern, doesn't it?
Of course.
Pollo Tropical. Go to Orlando.
Hey,
Tropic Grill.
About your anti-Semitism thing.
Yes.
I don't know if you would remember this, but when I was a little younger in Miami, I called you once and I said, I gave you permission to say anything you want about Jews.
Yeah.
As long as it's in good taste.
Okay.
I gave you permission.
I don't recall.
Well,
thank you.
Should.
It didn't help, but I appreciate it, pal.
I love you, man.
All right, man. Thanks for calling tonight.
No problem.
Bye. I had a Jewish producer down there. That didn't help me at all either. That was worse. Andy Kalb, my producer in Miami, he's the guy that came up with the term Jew canoe. So I had this old guy call on my show, and I can't stand your program. And Andy's writing down, ask him if he drives a Jew canoe. I said, what the hell is a Jew canoe? A Cadillac. And that was all kinds of hell to pay, and all because of the very fine Jews of Miami. Andy Kalb and another guy by the name of Jeff DeForest. Anyway, here is Laguna Niguel on Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good.
Just want to tell you about a place in Palm Springs. It's in the Denny's. It's called the Amigo Room.
Uh-huh.
And me and my wife go there quite frequently. It's the only place there's no gays or old people, and it's a good place to have a Jack and Coke and get drunk and have a good time.
Well, so you don't want to be hanging around them gays, huh?
No, I don't want to be hanging around those gays, and it's kind of hard
Why?
To find them in Palm Springs.
Why?
I don't know. They're just a little flamboyant out there.
In Palm Springs, they're flamboyant?
Yeah.
Are you worried they're going to be hitting on you?
No, not really.
You should have a little more love in your heart, man. I'm serious. You're laughing at me. I'm serious.
We have a good time, though.
You should have some more forgiveness in your heart.
More forgiveness?
Well, have a little love in your heart, man. I don't blame you about now. I don't blame you about the old folks, but don't worry about the gays. They're not gonna hurt you.
Nah,
the old people just slow up the service.
But I'll tell you, it's becoming a problem. Every bar in town has a big rainbow on it, so it's a little scary to go in some of those bars.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, the rainbow is the sign that it's gay friendly. I guess is the best term for it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. I have been in a couple, three gay bars in my life, and I'm not saying that, you know, I don't go in there unworried that I'm going to be hit on. But the fact of the matter is I ain't ever been hit on in a gay bar before. I haven't. People have talked.
Have you gone in there by yourself?
I've gone in there with my. I've gone in there with friends. I've gone in there by myself. Well, no, I haven't. I haven't gone in by myself because then you'll ask me the question: why are you going in there by yourself, Phil? Well, I don't know because I want to check it out. Maybe it's something for me. No, I went in for a variety of reasons. Generally, women enjoy going into gay bars because it's great to dance in there. They don't get hassled by guys in there.
That,
in other words, the men are very polite and they can dance and whatever you want to call it. Okay.
Right.
But I never had any problem in there. And even if a guy came up to you and he said, you know, would you like to dance? You can very politely say to him, no, I'd rather not.
Yeah,
but it's nothing
true.
To be freaked out about.
Nah, that's true. That's true.
You know, you'd be a bigger man in your wife's eyes if you could hang with a few gay guys. You could dance with them. Yeah. In fact, you know what? Say, let's go to this gay bar, honey. I'd like to dance, not with you. Anyway, thanks for calling, pal.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. Slow dance with a few gay guys and just, I don't know what it is about me. Maybe it's because I'm sort of, quote, regular, end quote. Guys, particularly guys, feel very open to call me and say, you know those niggers, Phil, they really get... I mean, it's like, I hope... Do I give off the impression I'm some kind of a homophobe? But I appreciate that he has a comfort level that he can say to me, hey, you know what, I don't like hanging around with gay guys. I understand. I'm glad he has that comfort level. That gives him the opportunity to maybe change his mind, which I'm sure I didn't. Here is Culver City on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hello.
How are you, ma'am?
Good.
Good.
Did I just hear you say the N-word?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
But I was using it in a metaphoric sense.
Oh, I see.
I was being illustrative.
Illustra what?
Illustrative. I was using it. I was as an example of the kind. Don't play with your kid when Phil's trying to tell you about something. It was explanatory. It was explanatory.
Explanatory.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It was. Is that a word? Explanatory.
Yes, it is.
Have you ever been to the explanatory? It's
yes,
great.
I
They've
have.
Got those shooting stars.
I just want to tell you that Bob's Big Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Is also called Kip's Big Boy in Texas.
Yeah, the guy was mentioning Zips, and he mentioned Kip's.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. What else can you think of that... Have you ever been back east and had... there's a burger chain back east that is so frighteningly bad. I'm trying to think of it.
Burger King?
No, it's a burger chain in, the upper Midwest and also back...
Castle.
Hardee's. You ever heard of Hardee's?
No.
Oh, God, is it bad.
But you know what? I do go to the store here to buy frozen White Castle burgers.
White Castle's the bomb. White Castle is God. I mean, one of these days we'll have one out here. Probably not, because this is California. Everybody out here is just so, you know, we got it going on. Bull crap.
My son is panting.
Okay, I know it, yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye. I gotta go, my son's panting. I gotta go, my son is out there pantsing. Century City on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hi, this is Gina. I'm a native Californian.
How's it going, Gina?
Hi, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm Phil. I'm a native Californian, too.
Hey, right on.
All right.
Hey, I moved to Iowa, and I think I know the thing about Hellman's Mayonnaise. Here, it's Best Foods.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same. It tastes the same. You know what it is?
What?
Because everyone thinks there's some Grandma Hellman sitting down there on Cedar Road, and she's making that mayonnaise. People in the community and Mama making it. And that's why I think that it's the same thing, but it sounds better because Mrs. Hellman made it.
Because when you're back east, everybody wants that down-home thing going on?
Totally. Like Hardee's. That is so popular there. It's so disgusting, but it's
Oh, that place is vile, Hardee's.
But it's open 24/7. It's like, let's go down to Hardee's or Blimpie's.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying I don't eat there. I'm not saying that when I lived in Minneapolis, I wasn't eating there every day.
But I
would bite into this. I would immediately have buyer's remorse biting into the burger. You know, just, oh, why did I do it? And I'd finish it in about 5 seconds.
But hey, it's all about being accepted, so I bought Hellman's.
I know it. And Hardee's accepted me. You know, it's one of the few places that serves me. Thanks for calling.
Hey, you too.
Bye. She bought Hellman's? Hell, man. That's good. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget, this coming Saturday at 12 noon, I'll be at Rock Honda in Fontana for the initial signing and sale of the Best of the Phil Henry Show 99 CD, Communism is Neat, and that will be at 12 noon. The CD is $20, and all the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, and we'll also have Arizona Iced Tea. I think Frank's going to sell that stuff for about a buck. All that goes to the folks at my friend's place as well. Here's Tampa on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil Henry.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Great.
Best Foods is actually a corporation that owns Hellman's.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, they also own...
How come they don't call it Hellman's out here?
Yeah, well, they call it Hellman's in Florida, in Tampa.
Because it's what, down home?
Huh?
Because it's more down home sounding?
I guess so.
You know, in other words, the corporation's Best Foods, not that it's a big thing. I mean, I can...
No, it's,
you know,
not. It's just like crap foods.
It does, yeah, it's crap. They should call it crap mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Crap Foods.
Well, I believe it was bought out by Kraft. I mean, by Best Foods.
Oh, I thought you said crap.
No.
It was bought out by crap?
No. Best Foods is the corporation that owns the mayonnaise, just like they own Arnold Bread.
Why don't they just call it All That Crap Food?
Yeah.
You know?
They should.
Okay, man, what do you eat down there?
Huh? What do I eat?
What are you eating down there these days?
A lot of oranges. A lot of citrus. Tomatoes. I live in the tomato capital of the world.
Tampa?
Yeah, well, Ruskin.
You're living down in Ruskin?
Yes. More tomatoes are grown here than anywhere else.
You better get out of there.
And more varieties, yeah.
All right.
See you later, bye.
Get out of there. Rancho Cucamonga on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hi.
I'm giving that guy crap for Ruskin, and this guy's in Rancho Cucamonga. How are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good, man.
All right, Checkers down south is the same as Carl's Jr. Carl's Jr. over here.
Not.
Same commercial, everything.
I've been there.
Yeah.
I've eaten at both places.
It's not?
They bear no resemblance to each other.
I thought I saw the same commercial with the guy eating the chicken sandwich over in the lake and the fish.
Oh, you mean it getting all over your face, that whole pitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be. You may be right that they're using the same advertising approach, but Carl's Jr.'s out here.
Yeah.
And Checkers is more, you know what Checkers is? Because I used to eat at Checkers in Fort Lauderdale, and Checkers is more reminiscent of In-N-Out.
Oh, it is?
It's very similar to In-N-Out. They have walk-up restaurants. The burgers ain't bad. They're pretty good. They're not as good as In-N-Out, but they're pretty damn good. And they get some good shakes. And you go in, and they got the same kind of funky 50s thing going on.
All right.
Whereas Carl's Jr.,
yeah.
When you eat there, then you go ahead and sit out on a toilet, and you're like there for, what do you figure, 3-4 days?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the major difference.
Yeah.
Okay, brother.
And pizza was made in New York City.
In York City?
New York.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
A lot of Italians over there.
A lot of Italians in York City?
Yeah, they made it over there.
Really?
That's where New York-style pizza came from.
You think there's a lot of Italians over there?
Yeah, they made a big old tray pizza.
Yeah.
Like just cheese, and what you want on it, they gave it to you, and you put it in the oven, and they put whatever you wanted on you, baked it in the oven, and gave it to you after that.
Thank God. I'd hate to have to order up all that stuff and not get it.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
All right, later.
Okay, bye. Moore Park on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Moore Park, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Great.
I think that Carl's Jr. bought out Hardee's because there's a big star on the sign now. I was just in Tennessee. So.
Oh, really?
Yes, and someone told me they charbroil their burgers.
So you mean the food has gotten even worse?
I've never eaten there, so
wow.
I don't know.
They're charbroiling the burgers now.
Yeah, like Carl's Jr.
What'd they do before? They just served them raw.
They fried them, I'm sure.
Oh, boy.
So it might be better.
Let's just stick with In-N-Out. I think we're all going to be eating healthier. Yeah,
In-N-Out's the place.
Thanks, ma'am.
All right.
Okay, bye. By the way, In-N-Out's got a health burger now. You can order up the burger without the bun. And I found out about that just in time for me to be off the Atkins diet. Off the Atkins diet. Off the Atkins diet. Have you heard? I'm off the Atkins diet. How do I know? I couldn't be more officially off that diet. I just went into the food room and got a bear claw with cinnamon on it. How could I do this to my listeners and myself? Filled with such enthusiasm one day, and the next day, I'm officially off. I'm eating a bear claw and an apple.
We'll see you tomorrow with more. Continuing saga here on Please Someone Help Me. In the bathroom, 3 days, Carl's Jr. Sunrise Sandwich. I don't have to say anymore, do I? Sunrise Sandwich, Big Trouble. You know what I'm saying? Oh, look at this. Oh, M&M's. Out of the big M&M's. Thank you. Now I'm really off the diet. Very right. Carell and Andrew give Terry Ray presents. That's why she's working for him.
Playground.